Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Walk Talk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Nsoroma. And June is the second of three water months in this historic year of the 2020 transit. And June opens the portal all the way for emotional cleansing and reconciliation. In the wake of the horrific murder of George Floyd, and it's bringing up and exposing and illuminating similar kinds of examples of police brutality or situations of police brutality. And the most recent one now that's being protested is for Elijah McClain in Colorado. And there has, again, just been both a national and a global unification response. So this month, it really has been a time to feel and heal. My theme for June is clean up transferred pain, meaning the pain that has been transferred to you during your life. Through four broadcasts and accompanying videos, I have been providing psycho-spiritual insights and guidance for recognizing, accepting, and cleaning up the pain. And tonight I conclude with talking about cleaning up ancestral womb pain. Yeah. But first, just a reminder that when I'm broadcasting live, you can listen through this telephone number, which is area code 563-999-3089. I will upload a video of this broadcast on Tuesday to my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And you can ask questions or share comments on my Facebook page, which is Wisdom Walk Radio, or on my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, or in the comments section below this video if you are at this point watching. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for the exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. As always, I want to begin my broadcast by taking time to honor the ancestors. And with everything that's going on, I definitely want to call in all the ancestors. Yeah. And ancestors are people who have lived on the earth plane but are not here anymore. They can be blood related to you. It could be a family member, friend, or it could also be someone you've never met before but admired for their gifts and contribution to the world. And so I ask you to take a moment and think about an ancestor, someone that you want to connect with for guidance, for clarity, for reassurance that you are supposed to be here on this earth and taking on the great work of learning how to become the best version of yourself. So join me as I invoke the ancestors. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, All the One, All That Is, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your blessing and your mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to call out to your great emissaries, the ancestors. Ancestors, 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 we are calling out to you. For once again, Creator has brought us to a time in human history to a great crossroads where we get to choose how we want to go forward. And so we need your guidance, your wisdom, your clarity, your understanding to help us remember that we are here for a purpose, to help us remember that all life matters, all life is valuable on this planet. We need you to help us remember that we have the ability within us to choose to value our lives and that of all other humans. We also ask and thank you for enabling us to uncover the pain that would block us from valuing our lives and give us all the support that we need. Help us understand, help us listen, help us open up and receive all of the support, physical, non-physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, whatever, so that we can make it through this 2020 transit and come out so much better than when it began. And so give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to open up to learn how to be flexible and how to adapt and how to have hope and faith that we will get through this and the world will be better. So once again, Creator, I ask and thank you for the blessing of the ancestors, for their continued support. And I ask you this in the name of all that is holy. And I say, amen, ashe, ho, asash, and gabizula, and so it is. Ashe, ashe. Wow, what a month June has been. It has really been quite a time, and it's not over, folks. It's not over. We got Tuesday to get through, and then July starts off with an astrological bang, another eclipse. Now, let me start off by telling you the elemental wisdom for this week coming up, because currently we are still in a mineral week, which started last Wednesday, the 24th, goes to this Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, July the 1st, we open up that month with a water week. And it's interesting because July is a fire month. Yeah. So here's the opportunity. It's about releasing what can no longer support your new journey forward. Call upon the power of love and the element of water to enable you to peacefully and gently bid farewell to the people, places, and other things that once sustained you. Express gratitude for these were essential contributions you received to your healing and your growth. But now you've outgrown their energy, and it's time to make room for the new energy that is about to show up, and for many of us has already shown up for us at this time. So embrace vulnerability, that ability to be open-hearted, open mind, open will, and embrace the unknown. Say yes. Say yes. So here are the distractions to be on the lookout for. Number one is that fear of loss, yeah, because that can really have us blocking what's trying to come in, since we don't want to feel that pain. But again, when you've outgrown a pair of shoes, when you've outgrown a dress or a pair of pants, you can't squeeze back into it, no matter how hard you may try. And so it's the same thing with our lives as we move and evolve forward. Next distraction, fear of the unknown. Yeah, using that as an excuse to not go forward. I'm too scared. But, you know, all of life is about that. It's about stepping into the unknown and learning. And so this is a call for courage. Call up your courage. Next one, needing to know or explain outcomes that have yet to be lived. Yeah. And so, of course, this requires patience and faith. And last but not least, holding on out of false obligation and false guilt. Yeah. False obligation and false guilt. Many of you listening right now know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, next week on the 8th July, it will be a nature week. And just a heads up, I'm going to be on hiatus for the next 4 Sundays. So I will not be broadcasting live, but I will do my best to put the elemental update into on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, so that at least you can know what week we're in. Now, just a reminder that on July 22nd, we had our July Earth Day. June Earth Day. And so now July 22nd becomes our next monthly Earth Day. I have been asking you to continue to cut down on your use of plastic and paper. And that includes, of course, recycling plastic. Even that chicken that you get that may come in plastic, that cooked chicken, you know, when you're finished with the carcass, get some good hot water and some good dish soap and soak it out all that grease and stuff and prepare it to be able to be recycled. Takes a minute. It's easy to do. Hot water and soap will rinse it out really good. But these are, you know, some of the ways that we have to really think. We have to really think about how am I individually contributing to, you know, climate change and just things being out of balance. So I did last month that I asked you again, especially at this time of coronavirus, to really rethink the use of your fossil fuel car unless it's an essential trip or service that you have to do. And again, go to that website for the Earth Day organization, which is www.earthday.org, and you can look up what they call today's action to get some more tips and some more ideas for how you can personally make a contribution to making sure that our planet is habitable for the seven generations that will come after you. Yeah. Now, astrologically, yeah, because this month, you know, we started off with an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, and then we had a very powerful solar eclipse. And now we are heading into two major astrological events. The first one is the second of three, Pluto and Jupiter conjunctions, and this is going to happen on June the 30th. Now, the last one was in April. That was April 4th. And the final one will be in November. And so you can mark like this process that we're going through to evolve our conscious, for humanity to evolve by how these conjunctions are showing up. So it was like in April 4th, we got really clear that, yeah, this really is a pandemic. And states around the country who thought that they maybe could pretend it wasn't, they got a big little slap. And then things started to ease up. And more denial showed up. More wrong application of the First Amendment showed up, where people thought that, yeah, I have the right to make a decision about whether or not I want to wear a mask in the time of a global pandemic. Oh my God, you can see how much upsets me. And so what's happening now is, of course, that things are having to be pulled back. I just got a smart alert on my phone for Los Angeles County, and really for the state of California now. The governor said, okay, all those bars and those brew houses and close down, have to close down. And if people don't continue to cooperate, then the restaurants will definitely close down. So again, we see that, you know, this Pluto-Jupiter showing up is really signaling to us you are in a time of change, and it's not going to go away just because you're uncomfortable or because you're scared, you know. And let me give you a little bit more from a couple of astrologers. This one is called Moon Circles. And what she says about it, because this is a message of hope. She's looking at the positive change impact that the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction has had on the globe. And she says, just 1 month ago around the globe, people were hopelessly divided, right versus left, globalist versus nationalist, as democratic values collided with dictatorships. And now, with the snap of a cosmic finger, we're one world. We're rallied and unified. What the amazing Greta Thunberg couldn't do for climate change was accomplished by a virus. The surge in national compassion that didn't erupt when families were broken apart at the border here in the United States now erupts everywhere. We're in this together, quote unquote. What Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders couldn't achieve, inspiring the nation to strengthen its social safety nets, rein in corporate greed, and make healthcare available to all, this is suddenly being discussed in Congress without a regime-changing election. Wow. Very, very powerful about how, you know, all of this change stuff, you know, between coronavirus and the death of George Floyd is affecting us under this energetic of the, it's really the Saturn-Pluto-Jupiter conjunction. Now, along with that happening Tuesday, a few days later, on the 4th to the 5th, on the anniversary of the independence of the United States, we get a lunar eclipse in Capricorn, And this starts on July 5th, my time here on the West Coast, at 7:23 p.m. It's going to peak, be its most dark, at 9:29 p.m. So that means that the portal of this eclipse is going to be open for about 2 hours and 45 minutes, almost 3 hours. It will be visible in North and South America, except for Alaska. Interesting. Hawaii, yeah. Alaska, no. Most of Canada, most of Europe, most of Africa and Antarctica. Yeah, we'll have opportunity to see this. But, of course, all of us will be affected by the energy. One of my favorite astrologers, Astro Butterfly, shared this about eclipses, which I thought was really, really cool. She says, eclipses are not regular new moons or full moons. They are special new moons and full moons. At the eclipses, we're given a unique opportunity to connect with the source and get access to information we wouldn't normally have access to. Eclipses are a recalibration of fate and free will. During the eclipse season, your individual path realigns with the universal path. An eclipse points to what you need to change so you can reconnect with your purpose. I'll repeat that. An eclipse points to what you need to change so you can reconnect with your purpose. And for many people, it'll be the first time to connect with your purpose. Yeah. And one last thing about this eclipse that I thought was important, because the eclipse is happening in the sign of Capricorn, as this one does, and it's been Capricorn or Cancer, is been a part of like a two-year journey. It started in July of 2018, okay? So one of the astrologers, We Mystic, says, think about where were you in July of 2018? What was going on in your life? It says, what life-changing event started at that point? Which conflicts were you dealing with? More than in any other place, there and in the last 2 years, events are the answers for the energy the eclipse of July will play in your life, because this is about a completion, ending of a cycle of personal change for you. Yeah. It says, it's possible that your life changes. Make sure you dream with love and high vibrations so it changes for the better. Yes, I'm all in that. I like that a lot. Okay. And again, I know I have been promising a video for you about the astrological update on this 2020 transit. And I definitely will have time to do it in July, because it's not vacation for me. It's a hiatus, just meaning I'll have a little more time to follow up and take care of some things, produce some things that I've been wanting to over the last several weeks. Okay. Now, I know I'm going to spill over a little bit. I'll try for it to not be too much, because I really do have a lot to share with you tonight. And I promise that I will do some future videos on some of the points and some of the themes that I'm going to bring up right now, because this is a really powerful topic. It's a really big one, and there's a lot to share. But I'm going to go through it as clearly and as quickly as I can so that I stay time. Let me say that. So I'm going to first, again, do a review about what cleaning up subtle transfer pain is about. Then I'm going to talk about ancestral wounds defined and why we ignore them. Then I'm going to talk about that subtle pain of ancestral wounds. And I'm going to use the insights of Brené Brown, the social scientist. And then last, of course, I will give you a personal awareness opportunity and challenge. My opening quote for tonight is from me, from my book, which I just thought it was pretty appropriate for what I want to talk about tonight. And so I say, the family wound has the power to keep us cycling through unhappy experiences, self-sabotaging behaviors, chronic depression, failed and dysfunctional relationships, financial debt, and the inability to give and receive love freely as long as we allow it. Yeah. Well, that's good news, is that we can heal from this stuff. So quickly, back to clearing up transferred pain. Again, as I said, although physical forms of pain from childhood, from adulthood, from adolescence, and even from ancestral wounds, right, That's all real, but it's the subtle ones, the non-physical ones, that really create the thickest, the biggest mental barriers to creating and living our happy endings in life. And this includes, you know, repeated experiences of neglect or invalidation, disappointment, emotional withdrawal, which is what the ancestral wound piece I'm going to talk to you about tonight is really about. It's an emotional withdrawal. But all of that will definitely create problems for us. So to clean up subtle, non-physical, transferred pain, first of all, it has to be recognized because, remember, it's so subtle. And you recognize it through the unhealthy behaviors and patterns that maybe you thought were just part of your personality or just the way the world works. No, it's about being able to really recognize, okay, something's not right here. Next, it has to be accepted, meaning that you have to feel it. You have to feel the pain. You can't say, oh, it's not really painful. No, it's painful. And you have to sit in that pain, yeah, with the intent to heal, with the intent to let it go. You're not sitting in it so you can suffer. You're sitting in it because finally you're strong enough to allow yourself to feel it. And it's only by feeling it that we're able to let it go. And, of course, you can get all the help you need for that. But then you have to make a commitment. You have to make a commitment to learn how to transform the pain no matter how long it takes. Yeah. So, again, recognition, acceptance, and commitment is how we deal with subtle transferred pain. So how does it show up with ancestral wounds? Ancestral wounds being what happened before you were born in your family, in your heritage line. That is through the DNA, which is, of course, scientifically proven now. But to me, it's just like common sense. But anyway, so what happened to our ancestors affects us. And in regards to slavery in America, the great Joy DeGruy, wonderful social scientist, has coined the phrase post-traumatic slavery. And she does a wonderful job of talking and discussing how things that happened in slavery, where we created what's called maladaptive behaviors, became a part of our culture as Black people in America, and also contribute to a lot of the health issues that Black people are dealing with and why it's so chronic. Yeah. And this work, too, has also been applied and done by other social scientists. Like there's one woman named Mary Yellowhorse, and she's focused on the impact of genocide on Native American First Nations people. And she talks about, you know, inheriting these ancestral wounds almost as a way to not, it's like you want to not be disloyal to the ancestors. So, again, because they suffered, then you feel you have to suffer too. Yeah, yeah. So we know, again, that this is real, that these ancestral wounds definitely get passed down. But the one I want to talk about that is a little more subtle, and it comes from, you know, it comes from all of these, you know, things that happen historically to humans, whether that's war, immigration, forced or chosen, again, genocide, natural disasters, man-made disasters. What happens is in those kinds of situations, you don't have time to grieve because you're so busy trying to survive. And when people who die are not grieved, it's not a good day. That blocked grief becomes an energetic that will create disruption and imbalance to our lives, individually and collectively. You know, it's understood in indigenous culture and in indigenous wisdom, and it's also something that, you know, back in the day people knew, people really got this, and that was that when somebody dies, you need to grieve them. And grief doesn't mean suffer. It means you need to let them go. And you let them go in a very respectful and honorable and beautiful way. Beautiful way. Beauty is a very important part of a grief process. And, you know, we've lost that in modern culture. We've lost that. We don't even support people in their grief in the way people used to. You know, people put on black, and they put on black for a year or two or something, depending on how close the person was to you that died. You'd put a black wreath on your door. But that meant that other people knew that you were grieving, that you were going through a process of letting go. And so they would be gentle to you because you were vulnerable. You were taking on this deep emotional journey. And we've lost that. We don't do that. There are people who are walking around who have lost family members right now as a result of coronavirus, and you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know. Yeah. And so, again, this idea that we need to grieve, you know, it reminds me of why it was that the freed slaves in Charleston decided to memorialize all the soldiers. It wasn't just the Union soldiers. It was also the rebel soldiers that had died at this racetrack, you know, why they went out of their way to make sure they buried the bodies and did a parade, you know, and honored the dead. And because it's this understanding that if you don't take on the grief process in an honorable, respectful, beautiful way, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. Yeah. So, what happens in our culture is that, you know, we turn wakes and funerals into just kind of almost obligatory events where we work not to cry or not to cry in a way that we feel would be too much. There's even a thing now where people stop using flowers, which represents the beauty. You know, stop using flowers and say, oh, just make a donation to this thing. We don't need any flowers because they don't understand the symbolism and the energetic of using flowers. Again, that's that beauty, you know, honoring the dead with beauty in our culture. You know, the cost of a funeral, the cost of a casket, it's outrageous. So it makes it very hard for people to look forward to, oh, yeah, I'm going to really honor this person. I'm going to send them off in the right way because it's so overwhelming financially. And it doesn't need to be that. It really doesn't need to be that. So because of that, because we are shut down to the grief, because we have forgotten how to take it on in an honorable, respectful, and beautiful way, the wounds of ancestors are left to really walk around. They're left to walk around. Quickly, Brené Brown is a social scientist who went viral from a TED Talk that she did on the power of vulnerability. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. I'm going to leave the link to the video in the box below this video, and I'll post it on my Wisdom Walk Radio page because it's a great, great talk. And what she does in that talk is she identifies why it is that we really need to get vulnerable. Because what vulnerability is for her, it is about that, being open-hearted. It's about being emotionally intelligent. You know, it's about being honorable, respectful, and adding beauty. She says in her work, and let me find that quote. Ah, here it is. She says that this adult cohort, and she's talking specifically about the United States, in the history of the United States, she says we are the most in debt, the most obese, the most addicted, and the most medicated people. Yeah. So despite all of this technological advances and all these creature comforts, you know, my mother grew up where she had to pump a well in order to get water. There was no faucet to turn on in their shack, right? So despite all of that, we've got all of this stuff going on. She also talks about what I see as are the three very powerful ways in which this subtle blocked grief from ancestral wounds gets transferred. One, blame and shame. She says we do so much blaming and so much shaming of people and situations and ideas. Yeah. Next, that we make the uncertain certain and we make the certain uncertain is what I added on, because it's just both of those things. So what does that mean? Basically, you know, religion, spirituality, what a person believes about their God or who is their God, that's a mystery, because we all have no evidence of what God really looks like. So if somebody wants to believe something, that's their business. They have a right to that. But when somebody is trying to tell them what you're believing is wrong, it's evil, it's this, it's that, that's trying to make the uncertain certain. The making the certain uncertain, the greatest example that's going on right now is, you know, science and also from observation shows us that the coronavirus is a perfect transmitter. So if you're not using a mask, if you're not practicing social distancing, if you're not, you know, avoiding putting yourself into dangerous situations, then you're trying to make it uncertain that you could contract the virus when the opposite is true. Yeah. And then the third thing she says is that we demand perfection. Demand perfection. And that's from children, from our physical bodies. If I see one more commercial about the perfect eyebrow, the perfect eyelash, the perfect skin, and we expect that perfection from ourselves and from others. So here's the personal challenge for you for this week to help uncover this subtle transferred ancestral wound pain in your life. Number one, who and or what are you blaming and shaming for your unhappiness, your loneliness, your loss, your financial hardship, etc., meaning everything that you're not happy about in life right now? And as Marianne Williams says, don't go unconscious, write it all out. Who are you blaming and shaming? Number two, how are you making what is uncertain, that mystery, certain? How are you doing that? Three, how are you making what is certain, proven fact, and observable, uncertain? Four, how is the pursuit of perfection impacting what you think of yourself and others? And last but not least, what will it take for you to commit to take on learning how to heal your subtle transfer of ancestral wounds? Again, this will be listed in the YouTube box below this video, the comments box below this video. And I ask and thank you for subscribing to my channel. I appreciate you very much if you do that, and even if you don't. So, like I said, it's a lot, and I promise I'll come back and address some more of those themes at another time. But I want to close out by thanking my wonderful engineer, Ms. Yvette Parker, and the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family for all of their support over these last 6 months to make sure that I could do this work. And I'm just grateful, grateful, grateful. Shout out to all my regular listeners out there. And to my number one fan, Ms. Sarah, who at 95 years young continues to consciously heal the pain that was transferred from her ancestral wounds. She takes that very seriously. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues all around the world, my medicine brothers and sisters, and those who may be listening or watching for the first time, Thank you, thank you, thank you. I could not do this without your support, interest, and patience. Now, as I said, I will be on a four-week hiatus until Sunday, August the 2nd, but I will be providing you with the 20 broadcasts and videos so far. And so you will still be able to get access to my content every Sunday, same bat time, same bat channel. The book, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, Ancient Wisdom for Transforming Pain, again, continues to be available through Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, even Walmart, and other online booksellers. And last but not least, I'd like to thank my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a healthy and safe Water Week coming up. Continue to wear your mask. Practice social distancing and safe relating. Avoid perceived safety and embrace science safety. And most importantly, please remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.